John Dickinson joins us again from 95.7 The Game out in the Bay. JD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, OC? How are you guys doing this afternoon and not into the evening now as the media portion of the week as far as the players go is in the books and quite a bit. I think it got a little chippy. Guys were a little frustrated, I think, at the extent by which they had to speak with the media, what amounted to four separate sessions in less than 72 hours. Cam Newton among the most visibly kind of tired, let's say, of dealing with the media all week long.
Well, so this is always fun because the media is not often smiled upon by star athletes anyway because they have so many obligations. If you're telling me that they had to step up their media duty because it's the Super Bowl week, who reacted best to it? And who do you think was probably the most rankled by the whole excessive questioning?
Well, there's no question that Cam Newton was the most, let's say, fatigued by it. At one point today, he was asked why he was wearing socks with sandals, because that's how he had come down from the hotel room or one of the meeting rooms.
It's a huge fashion it's a big fashion faux pas. We all know that.
It is. But again, it was something that was noticed and asked. And he looked at the reporter who asked and said, well, why are you wearing jeans and tennis shoes? So it just he kind of laughed that part off, but was unwilling to repeat a story that he has mentioned a couple of different times with respect to the hospital bracelet, which he still wears, stemming from his car accident back in late 2014. And it's interesting because he wouldn't relay the story again. A reporter had asked, you know, what does that mean to you? And he just said, man, I've told that story 100 times. It's just got a special meaning. Let's just leave it at that. And I think, he sort of waned a couple of days ago as well. I think yesterday it was where he kind of said, you know, nothing has changed from the day before. And he reiterated that again today, saying that, you know, nothing has changed. I think, you know, as far as who's handled it well, I mean, I'll just stick with Peyton Manning. I've been really impressed with the lack of Peyton Manning just doesn't seem tight. And I know that's the reputation that he has in some of these big games in the Super Bowls. And maybe he's come to grips in his own mind with the fact that it's going to be the last game that he ever plays. And he's been able to sort of view it a little bit differently, but he's been really calm and relaxed and at ease this week, noticeably, I think, compared to, some of the other players.
So I kind of predicted that you were going to give answers along those lines, because when I look at this matchup, there's obviously a lot of X's and O's, but it also feels like a more veteran Broncos team, maybe a little bit more mature and seasoned in some of these big games versus a Carolina team that's obviously very exciting, but has not been on this exact real estate before. Most of these guys have not played in a Super Bowl, and they haven't been to this biggest stage. Do you think that fatigue from being on the biggest stage and all the extracurricular activities that come with it, does that show itself on Sunday?
Yeah, you know what? I'm starting to think that it might, and it was something that I noticed initially was just, you know, how much fun the Panthers were having, and I think that's great. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for most of these guys. You know, Ron Rivera had addressed the team and said, hey, enjoy it because you may not get back. And he referenced the Bears team he was on in 85 that they thought they were going to go to multiple Super Bowls. He said it wound up being the only one, and he was glad that they won it. But many of those players on that team never made it back to another Super Bowl. So he wanted his team to embrace the moment and have some fun. But I think at the same time, the Broncos look at it, and a lot of their players, you know, they just got embarrassed in this game 2 years ago. And I know it's a different team with a different coaching staff, and there are some differences, obviously, in the personnel. But I think there is enough guys on that squad, Peyton Manning among them, who were embarrassed in that game. And it is a little bit more of a business-like feel as opposed to an event on top of a football game from the Broncos' perspective. So I'm actually starting to think that it might come into play a little bit. But, hey, if there's a, you know, 180-yard drive by the Panthers or they force an interception early at Peyton Manning and they get on the board and that goes all out the window.
forgive me for not knowing already, but how much access is the media out there given to practices? Is there media availability at the end so you can watch a little bit of practice, or is it just interviews only?
Yeah, it's interviews only at this stage, and the way they laid out the schedule the past couple of days was pretty early, actually. It was an 8 in the morning media availability for the Broncos. They chose, as the home team, to go first and sort of get the day kicked off early and get their practice in a little bit early, have an opportunity to do it. And the Broncos were available essentially from 8 in the morning till about 9:30, and then the Panthers were available at their team hotel from about 10:30 until right around noon, right around lunchtime. And how it works as far as beyond that is the teams go to practice, and there's actually a select group of pool reporters, beat guys, national reporters, a select group that gets to watch practice in its entirety and report back. But it's among reporters, I believe Peter King was actually the one guy who got to watch the Panthers practice today, and then he kind of puts out a report in general of what he sees for everyone else to draw off of. So as far as who gets to watch practice, it's only a trusted few, and Peter King about as high on that list as any reporter you'll come across, obviously, in the NFL.
Understandably, some players who are not familiar with all this, having maybe a little Super Bowl week fatigue. What about you, and what about the rest of the media? Is the novelty wearing off yet, JD?
Yeah, I got the impression today was the first day that it sort of turned a little bit. I don't want to say sour, but you could tell it was just. I think really what saved the day, honestly, was Snoop Dogg being there. You know, he showed up, but he was working for the Rich Eisen show to do some interviews, and he kind of crashed both press conferences for Peyton Manning and Cam Newton, but he met with both teams and actually kind of infused the whole place with some energy. He asked Peyton Manning if he could get, 50% off of Papa John's when he's in the state of Colorado. And he also said to Cam Newton that he has children that are going to be sitting in the appropriate areas of the stadium that he wants to make sure get a football if Cam Newton scores a touchdown. So he lightened the mood a little bit today. And I got to tell you, the players themselves, especially again on the Panthers side, were really enjoying it. I mean, posing for photos, during the interview session. It's a big ballroom, basically, or conference room where, some players are on risers, but everybody's out there basically at lunch tables, a cafeteria almost like setting. So every player on the 53-man roster and all the coaches are just sort of sitting in groups. And it's actually kind of cool when you think of the access. I mean, you really can walk up to anybody on the roster and just kind of strike up a conversation. So it is kind of cool the way the NFL does it. And I think by the end of the week, some people get a little bit tired of it. But if you've got questions to ask, it's really almost an unprecedented opportunity when you look at the access, because during a normal season, normal teams, I mean, it's very insulated. It's very hidden. Most guys speak maybe one time a week among the bigger players.
If any team is equipped to handle a little bit of controversy in a situation like this, it feels like it's the Denver Broncos and the leadership that they have. But a practice squad player got sent home. Has that been a big part of the narrative down there with the media?
No, it really hasn't. And I think, you nailed it. It's a practice squad player. If it had been Von Miller, I think it would have been, the headline the last 2 days and probably for two or three more. But no, it was Ryan Murphy, a practice squad player, and it was a relatively easy situation for the Broncos to deal with. They sent him home. He wasn't arrested, though he was briefly detained and questioned, and it sounds like from some of the reports that maybe Murphy's brother was more involved in this thing than even Murphy was, but the Broncos, very simply, it's been dealt with and we've moved on. That was Gary Kubiak's one sentence at the beginning of yesterday's press conference, and at that point, it really did all go away. But I think that's where the Broncos, the Panthers, anybody that's in a situation like this playing a high-level game, they had to breathe a sigh of relief in some respects that it wasn't, a high-profile player, because had it been, this whole thing would have changed, and it would have been topic number one for the rest of the week.
Have you seen anything this week or heard anything this week that would change your prediction on what the game's going to go like or who's going to win? Or is it pretty much status quo from what you expected at the beginning of the week?
Yeah, at the start of the week, I favor the Panthers, and I still do. However, I'm not of the belief that this game's going to be a blowout, and I really wasn't on Monday. And as the week has gone on, you know, if I was keeping a point spread in my head, and let's say it started Panthers by 7 or 6.5 in my mind, watching everything this week and just the way the two teams have met with the media, I might knock it down to maybe 4 at this point, or 3.5 in favor of Carolina. I still think that they are the better team, but when you look at the way they've dealt with everything, there's just that quiet, calm confidence that has stood out among the Broncos this week in the way they've carried themselves. And again, it's not a detriment necessarily to the Panthers, their being who they are, but it just seems like the Broncos may be the team that's more ready to roll come Sunday.
It feels like maybe sports overload happening in the Bay Area. You got Super Bowl week and all the preparations going on, and then, oh, by the way, the Warriors hitting the White House and Steph Curry dropping 50-plus.
Unbelievable last night. I mean, he's going to break the NBA record for threes in a game. I mean, he almost did it last night. It's going to happen. I believe the record's 12. He almost tied it. He's going to break it, and they're going to break the record for most in a game, which I think is 23, and they hit 20 last night. It's just unbelievable, and it's classic Warriors, OC, when you look at it, because here are the Warriors at the White House, which would have been topic number one any other week between now and, let's say, the start of baseball season, but it's during the Super Bowl. So the Warriors, who always have that chip, they almost got the short end of the stick in terms of coverage with going to the White House in some form. But no, it was great to see the footage from that. And they're going to be a part of this weekend as well on Saturday. I've mentioned a couple times that they're playing Oklahoma City in Oakland on Saturday night, and it's the first time those two teams have played each other this year. So with everything going on with Durant and the reports about the Warriors' interest and all the celebrities in town, that's going to be a big-time game at Oracle Arena on Saturday night.
I'll tell you what, if the Warriors land Kevin Durant, I am moving back to the Bay Area, whether I have a job there or not. That would just be the greatest show on hardwood since, I don't know, maybe those Celtics dynasties, or at least that Bulls team. Speaking of, do you think that this Dubs team is going to break the Bulls' single-season wins record?
Well, it's definitely on the table now. And, you know, I sort of waited, you know, because I remember the Bulls were 41-3 the year that they won 72. That was the number that stuck out. I remember, you know, as a kid, I believe I grew up in Sacramento, and I remember them coming in to play the Kings at that point, and they were 40-3, and they won that game to go to 41-3, and that number stuck in my mind this year. So I was going to wait until the Warriors got to that point in the season to see how it compared, and the Warriors were a game off of that pace at that point, and then now since, in the last few games, they've gone a game ahead of that Bulls play, and they're starting to embrace it. And that's the thing. Anytime this Warriors team embraces any kind of goal, they seemingly always hit. And they're just, their competitive nature, it's just, it's unreal. It's unprecedented. It really is. They've got a couple of guys on their team, mainly Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson. Their best three players are just as quietly competitive. And Draymond Green's not exactly quiet. The other two are. But as competitive as anybody you'll ever see, and I think as this thing draws closer, if they stick around the 6-7 loss, you know, area, 5-6 losses here, and they get close to March, I think they're absolutely going to go for it, and I would not bet against them.
That's John Dickinson. Follow him on Twitter at JD John Dickinson, the lead reporter for 95.7 in the game. Checking out all of the Super Bowl stuff that's happening in the Bay Area. And if you need a reference on anything involving baseball, he's your man. Anything involving the Golden State Warriors, he's your man. The Sacramento Kings, he's your man. Appreciate you taking the time, JD.
All right. Sounds good, OC.